So it is Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 25. Here goes the reading of the word of God. The Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Then they came to Marah, but they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." Oh, God. Oh, God. They got to Marah after 3 days not drinking. They thirsty, weak, and weary, finally found water at Marah, could not drink because the waters were bitter. But that's not the end of the story. There was an intervention that made the waters sweet. I come to tell somebody that God is going to sweeten your life this year. I come to talk to everybody in this room that have had a sad year, some bitter past. And I want to tell you that God's getting ready to spice things up. And you might not believe it, but look at your neighbor and tell him, "Y'all not ready for this." That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Expect the sweet life. And I know some of you not ready for this. Y'all not ready for this. But I want you to take your seats and let's hear what God will say to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Middle Eastern historians and agriculturalists informs us of an aromatic plant commonly known to the ancient world as wormwood. To be frank, wormwood is no fragrant bundle of mouth-watering delectable. Quite the contrary, wormwood was well known and recognized as a bitter herb that by the mere mention of its name would make a grown man's stomach turn and a strong man cringe. To enunciate and articulate it the way they described it, wormwood is an herbal plant that carries such a disgustingly gut-wrenching, unbearable, bitter aftertaste that in certain instances, individuals were known to experience such intense nauseating reaction, sometimes even to the point of temporary hallucination. Instinctively, when we think of something severely bitter and unpalatable, gall generally comes to mind. But back then, when you mentioned bitter, the prototypical imagery that would dominate their vision was wormwood. Why? Because to the ancient world, brothers and sisters, there was nothing so petrifying, repugnant, and obnoxious as the repulsive, disturbing taste of wormwood. To think of it the way that some recall it, wormwood was so grievously bitter that it became the apotheosis, should I say, the personification. That is to say, it was the very epitome and the embodiment of bitterness. According to Jewish rabbinical scholars, wormwood is a biblical metaphor used to describe the most horrendous, unbearable experiences known to mortal man. Mentioned precisely 8 times in the Old Testament and 2 in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, etymologists say that wormwood is a notorious idiom, synonymous and emblematic of just about anything that is classified or by affliction, by bitterness, and by resentment. So traumatic and deplorable was the taste of wormwood that it became the eschatological expression God employed to describe the cataclysmic disaster that will overtake the world during the Great Tribulation. At the end of this current dispensation, during the apocalyptic meltdown, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 11 tells us of a fallen star, which is named Wormwood, that is scheduled to crash land upon the earth, at which point it will poison, the Bible says, it will poison one third of the earth's water supply. As a result of this intercontinental catastrophe, it is prognosticated that a significant part of the world's population will die during the Great Tribulation because, as the text says, the waters were bitter. In other words, after the rapture of the born-again believers, particularly during what's referred to as the Great Tribulation, the universal impact of wormwood will be so disastrous. Life on earth will be distinguished by indescribable misery, hallelujah, underscored and italicized by incomprehensible bitterness and sorrow. Contextually speaking, if you look at wormwood as just some repulsive, nauseating cluster of bitter herbs, one could easily conclude that this is nothing but a worthless, disgusting, unprofitable agent of death and destruction. From a practical perspective, the evidence indicates that the bitterness of wormwood makes it totally unfit for human consumption. It is a gut-wrenching, intestinal provocation for the body. Albeit, we cannot overlook the dichotomous two-sided components of wormwood. I want you to come along with me this morning as I show you what I'm telling you. On this side of the spectrum, wormwood is grievously vexing both to the tongue as well as to the palate. Nevertheless, as bitter as it is, the record proves that wormwood contains certain indigenous life-changing medical properties that has the potential to completely transform your life. Therefore, experts contend that if you are able to look beyond the horrendous effects of the bitterness, you too would discover that wormwood possesses the inherent capacity, brothers and sisters, to make one's life sweeter than your cognitive imagination could ever contrive or conceive. No one can deny the fact that it is extremely unpleasant, but it may shock some of you, amen, that according to physicists, the extracts drawn out of the bitterness has been proven not only to reverse certain physical illness, wormwood possesses the groundbreaking potential to turn unbearable bitterness into unthinkable sweetness. Yes, yes, yes. As unbelievable as it may sound, the bitterest substance that creates such a petrifying discomfort and misery turns out to be the very thing from which some of the most groundbreaking healing antidotes have ever been discovered. This underscores and solidifies the fact that the very thing that leaves some of us feeling sick to the stomach is quite often the very thing that helps to enhance and improve the quality of our lives. Oh, come with me, come. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes the thing that hurts you the worst is the very thing that turns around to bless you the most. Some of you young ones may not know what I'm talking about. Ironically, however, I've discovered that the thing that, amen, creates, that causes you the most pain has the capacity to produce the greatest pleasure in your life. I want you to give me a minute to unpack this. We cringe and squirm at the initial response to the bitterness, but the record proves that wormwood is a powerful wonder drug, as bitter as it is. Scientific experts informs us that wormwood is used to remedy numerous metastatic complications and conditions, such as various digestive disorders, loss of appetite, upset stomach, gallbladder disease, intestinal spasms, as well as to eliminate and eradicate intestinal worms and parasites from the body. The reality implicitly holds that what tastes bitter this minute could turn out to be a lifesaver the next minute. It's hard to believe that something so disgustingly sickening could be used so frequently to treat fever, liver disease, depression, muscle pains, to improve memory loss, to stimulate the imagination, and even to increase sensual desires. It is used to contract, it is used to counteract, Crohn's disease, and to neutralize kidney disorder, wormwood. Furthermore, it is also noted, a noted fact, that some people apply wormwood directly to the skin, for the purpose of somehow treating osteoarthritis, healing wounds, and is also used as a very potent insecticide. Who knew it could be used to treat insomnia? It could be used to treat anorexia. It could be used to treat jaundice. Wormwood oil is also used as a counter irritant to reduce pain. And in case you have never heard, scientific research also shows that wormwood is recognized as an anti-carcinogen used to weaken and to kill cancer cells. Come. Ironically, though, it carries a bitter acerbic aftertaste. Wormwood oil is famous for the sweet fragrance that is found in soap, cosmetics, and even perfumes. Who would have thought that something so dreadful was so resourceful and powerful? Now, regardless how you feel about it, without question, each of us will have to admit that this is rather befuddling and paradoxical. Paradoxical, brothers and sisters, hallelujah, and complexing, because here we have something that is known to cause intense misery and discomfort, and yet out of something so troublesome and disturbing, we find hidden ingredients that not only reduces and eliminates pain, but generates healing and deliverance, for the hurting and the infirm. Upon contact, the sensation is absolutely odious and repulsive, to the gustatory taste bud. And yet hideous in one sense carries an aromatic fragrance that is able to crystallize and fill the atmosphere with sweet odoriferous fragrance. One on this side of the spectrum, it's disturbing, but on the other side, it brings ease and comfort. I need to talk to somebody today. What then is the moral significance here? Now, I don't know if you've made the connection, but the paradox here is clear. Though bitter in nature, even wormwood has the inherent capacity to expel pain, to relieve grief, and to make life extraordinarily sweet. It says to us that regardless how severe, regardless how extreme the occurrence may be, you allow a negative acrimonious experience to determine determine your ultimate opinion or reaction towards someone or something. No matter how bitter the encounter, never pass an unwarranted judgment or cause or curse an individual. Never place aspersion upon a thing or an individual, because until you're able to make a thorough assessment of the individual's intent as well as the purpose for the situation. God, no matter how offensive, no matter how hurtful, no matter how harmful the experience may be, you've got to be careful not to disregard the hidden qualities or the values within that someone or something, being mindful that if you look closely in every negative experience, there is always something positive to take away from it. Oh, come to me. No matter how painful and disturbing, you've got to be careful how you misdiagnose and your current situation, because the thing you reject today could turn out to be the very thing that was intentionally sent to bring unpredictable blessings in your life. Are you hearing me, somebody? It might taste bitter, it might feel bad, but I want to let you know that there is something that God has hid inside the thing, no matter how bad it is, in order to bless your life. So you got to be careful how you curse your seasons, because one season, hallelujah to God, of affliction can take you into a lifetime of blessing. Somebody say yes. Joseph's biological siblings saw him as an emerging rival and a political threat to their hierarchical birthright of the family. So they schemed and conspired. They sold him out to a foreign slave trader, not knowing that he was deputized by God to rescue the entire family from a catastrophic disaster that was scheduled to wipe out the nation of Israel. Blinded by their own narcissistic ambitions, instead of a savior, all they saw was an egotistical political oppressor, to their future prospect. Consequently, you've got to be careful not to delegitimize, to devalue, to discredit, or to mistakenly despise your destiny helpers as a result of some presumptuous hypothetical suspicion. It doesn't matter how wretched and unjust someone's behavior may be towards you. You cannot allow some unsubstantiated false hypothetical, hyperbolical speculation to rob you of the sweetness that is often buried deep beneath the surface of what looks like absolute disaster. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the conflicts, you've got to look for God's preordained intent. You've got to ask yourself, what is it that God is trying to teach me? What is he trying to accomplish, hallelujah, in your life?